Monday, August 17, 2015, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 3:01, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:02.
Okay, we're going to call the Board of Equalization to order. You want to stand and say the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's a current copy of the Open Meeting Act that's posted on the wall near the entrance there for anyone in the audience to view or anyone here. Sheree, would you call roll, please?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay. The approval of the August 3rd, 2015 minutes.
So moved.
Got second. A motion by Tony Gomez and a second by Dick McNair. Sheree, would you call roll, please?
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes. Okay, we're going to go into the homestead exemption appeal filed by Bobby Dirks. The board's decision whether to approve or deny the application for exemption. A public hearing was held at the last meeting, and the board did not delayed action and to research if the statement of Mr. Dirks' doctor, which was presented by Ms. Dirks at the hearing, would qualify for her exemption. So, do we know, have we, Christy?
Jeff called DHHS and they denied her a second time, and she has 90 days to appeal without getting out of our hands.
Okay, so she's got to go to
DHHS.
Okay.
So we'll hear back from her within 90 days then, probably. Or from somebody, more than likely.
It's up to them.
Yep, okay.
Okay. What's the board want to do?
Probably absolutely nothing for the time being.
Okay, we'll just move on then. We got a close. The next item, we got a closed session for the board to discuss possible settlement and tax equalization and review case of Guzman versus Dakota County. I'm going to restate that again. We're going into closed session to review the case of Guzman versus Dakota County. I have a motion?
So moved.
Is that a motion by Scott Love and a second by Tony Gomez? You want to call roll, Sheree?
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes. I moved to come out of closed session.
A motion by Bill. Is the recorder on? Ken?
Yes.
We got a motion by Bill Rohde and a second by Dick McNair to come out of closed session. Sheree, would you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, next thing is board to approve or deny the settlement on the action on the tax equalization review case Guzman versus Dakota County. What's the board's pleasure?
I'll make a motion to approve the settlement with the tax evaluation with the Guzman versus Dakota County.
Okay, we got a motion by Scott Love.
Second it.
And a second by Tony Gomez. Would you call a roll, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, is there any mail or emergency business that needs to be conducted on the Board of Equalization? Christy, anything? Any public comment on Board of Equalization? Okay, I'm going to adjourn the Board of Equalization, and I'm going to turn it over to Chairman Gomez to take it over for the County Commissioners meeting.
Thank you, Rick. First of all, I want to call on the meeting of Board of Commissioners in order. Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the west wall near to the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. For all, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Motion carried. Not motion. Everybody's here. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, August 3rd, 2015. Approval of the payroll claims. Approval of the accounts payable claims. And approval of the official reports. the payrolls and accounts payable and official reports. Scott and myself review every single of them, and it seems to me everything is in order and there's nothing correct about it. So I need a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
I'll make a motion to approve A through D on the consent agenda items.
I'll second that.
Move to approve the consent agenda items by Commissioner Guzgan, seconded by Commissioner McNair. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Thank you, guys. Motion carry. New business. Death three for nurse and worksite wellness coordinator and Devin Goodnett, wellness specialist for Mercy Business Health Service, presenting to the board the wellness screen agreement report for Dakota County.
Please come on.
Yeah, please.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'd like to say thanks for having Mercy Business Health provide your wellness screens. We appreciate the business.
I didn't like the results very well, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, as you can see, a couple years ago it was a C+. Last year was a B-, and this year is a B- as well. The GPA dropped down a touch, but at least it hung in there at a B-, so that's good. Weight management is the top thing that needs a little bit of work, and we do see this Siouxland-wise. You know, Siouxland-wide, it's every company we do in the Siouxland area is considered that. And so you guys, we kind of put you guys in that too.
I noticed that. That's what I'm upset about. Show me that I got a size waist 40. Where'd they come up with that? You didn't measure my waist. I look like a 40? Really? Okay, go ahead.
No comment.
Participation was up a little bit this year, 22 versus 18 last year. In 2013, there were 33 employees, though, so it would be nice to have more participation as far as that goes.
Didn't we talk about at one point in time to like mandate that to everybody? Did we do that at one time, or is that something different?
You can't. I don't think we can.
Oh.
We can.
The HIPAA law will get you.
Oh, okay.
I think it's... I mean, if you really use common sense, you know, you receive the results, and it's, I mean, you go to the doctor, how much you pay for
it. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Right.
And it's the fact, and like you said, you know, you realize that you're a little bit overweight or whatever, you know, in my case. It's true. He admitted himself.
I did not admit nothing.
Oh, yes, you did.
Okay.
Anyway.
I thought that L standing for fun.
I got you this time. Anyway,
it's a tape measure's fault.
40. You weigh 40, so you're already
right.
In my case, I'm really happy and really pleased, you know, that my diabetes and my sugar, it was really perfect. I mean, 92. I mean, I'm glad to that. So I think it's worth it. I mean, I will encourage all that Dakota County employees should do it, and we should promote this wellness program in general. So.
Well, it'll also help us out on our renewal on our insurance.
Right.
You know, and if we could work on this weight management area, get that down a little bit, I imagine that the health of all of our employees would be a ton better as far as the blood pressure and the diabetes and cholesterol. So,
you were talking about your blood sugar. Overall diabetes risk did increase from 2014. There were 59% in ideal range compared to 81% in ideal range in 2014. So that was a little bit concerning. Might be something to consider as you maybe have a presentation throughout the year. Maybe you want some diabetes education possibly on that, just to try to get those that are in the borderline and high to get their diabetes under control. With their blood sugar.
That's a good point.
And the blood pressure did improve, though. Blood pressure, and I'm on the second page of the aggregate report if you're on that one. Ideal, 47.8% had ideal blood pressure. 50% last year, but what I was looking at was the high. This year, high blood pressure was 26% compared to 33% the year before. So that's a good thing. Very good thing there. The tobacco, the smoking risk was higher this year. And I don't know if you guys thought about possibly offering some tobacco cessation classes or just having that literature out there. But that might be something to take a look at as well. 17% reported using tobacco. And we can help you out with that too. There's a Nebraska quit line as well, which that could even be emailed to employees.
Yeah.
And that would be a free resource. Those are always good to use. And we can certainly provide you with some information as well. Your total cholesterol on the last page improved. Total cholesterol, ideal, 73.9%, where last year 66.7. So that's a good improvement. And your HDL also had an improvement. HDL is a good cholesterol that typically goes up with more exercise and healthy eating, fish, that type of stuff.
There you go, Scott. You did it for us again.
Okay.
So I had good cholesterol. Okay. Tape measure on when they got the tape measure. I had good blood pressure, too.
Well, that's good. And do you want to talk about some recommendations for school this year?
I'm not sure if it's still going on or if it's something we can start back up, but one time I was reading about maybe a wellness committee was going on, or is that still continue? So possibly getting involved with that, having me come and help be involved with that as well, and trying to maybe help different things within wellness. Try to get some more participation of males. There's more female participation than male participation. And that goes, once again, just trying to get it out there and let them know it's a good thing. And this overall participation doesn't have to be just males, but we kind of discussed that a little bit already. There's different challenges we could look at doing of weight loss challenges. I know you guys have done some in the past as well, so continuing those, looking for new options of weight loss challenges, and just looking at different options as far as rewards for participating in these or incentives to participate in these kind of challenges. Looking at the different screenings you guys can take advantage of throughout the year. You guys have done DermaScan.
They do a weight loss challenge every year as well. Okay. And then you did a thirst one too, the Big W, water, walking, and WOA.
So the weight loss, we do it usually over the holidays. Is that just normal time when people do them, or do you do them like in the spring or summertime, or is it just, I know we did it during the holiday, I do believe. Right
probably
before Thanksgiving? Yeah.
Maintain, don't gain. Yeah. That's very popular. And then a lot of different companies keep that going in January where they try to keep it going for the new year. So you can do whatever you want,
right?
Absolutely.
We have like a spring challenge one that looks at exercise and diet. And you just kind of go through and you mark it, how you're doing, and it's kind of just shows different progress. Like it's like you run around the bases and you get certain movement for certain things that you do for that too. So that's just another one time of the year. That's during the spring. You can do that one. So there's different ones throughout the year that you can utilize that kind of correlate to what's going on in that time of year. And then as far as using the three services you get from us, I know we did DermaScan with you guys, and there's different ones we have as far as body fat testing, sit and reach and education with like hamstring flexibility, and there's some other new ones that we're looking at doing as well. So there's just some different options as far as that goes as well to utilize us.
You could even have a dietitian come out and speak too for one of those if you'd like. We do have a wellness dietitian on our staff as well.
We did that once and it was very well received, so we could do that again.
Yeah, that can be. I mean, we can come in and talk about weight loss and, like we already mentioned, diabetes and different things like that. There's lots of different options that we have as far as chances to learn and educate on different topics.
Yeah.
And we kind of already touched on it too, of the tobacco cessation classes, or encourage those different resources out there to help with not using tobacco as much.
Do you guys have a fitness room or any fitness options?
We say 50% of the Y membership.
Okay, well, that's good.
No.
All right. Is any idea how much of the employees use that?
That ranges from 15 to 30.
Okay.
Up and down.
Do they have to use it X amount of times a month in order to get the 50% off?
Once every 2 months.
Once every 2 months?
Yeah, it'd probably be good to up that a little.
Yeah, it might be good to look at that again.
Yeah.
It's probably worth it to look into it, you know, and have it go more often, so it'll worth the trip.
Yeah. I know there's some companies that are paying their employees health insurance, and if they use tobacco or if they're overweight or whatever, if they charge, then they'll charge them like $50 a month to go towards their premium. And if they don't do those, and if they go to a health club or whatever, then they'll give them a little kicker for that.
Some incentives.
As an incentive.
Sounds like discrimination to me.
If you got to pay, Scott, you got to pay.
And we do work with several companies that do just like what you said. You know, they set up how they want to do it. Some do a point system. And we can certainly do that in the future if you want to.
I think it'd be something to look at, you know. You got healthy people in your system, then you're not going to have claims against your insurance. It's going to keep your premiums down. Because I don't know if we're looking at an increase on our premium again this year. Are we don't? No? No. I know we go through a review every year.
Less than 1%, wasn't it? If I remember right.
Pretty cheap. But
you know, one number that surprises me is the increase in tobacco use.
Yeah.
Really?
We talked about that because typically we see that declining.
Well, yeah.
And I was just wondering possibly if some didn't report that.
Was there?
Yeah.
I thought it might be all the same. But.
And it could be how you word it, too, because some people might ask, do you smoke? Where if you ask, use tobacco chewing and smoking, and including all the tobacco use, rather than just saying, do you smoke?
Okay. Or even some were not as last year, you think, maybe?
Yeah.
That really surprised me. I wouldn't think that number ever came up.
Bill, you give up tobacco, didn't you?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nobody likes a quitter. Okay.
Board, any more questions for Devin?
No, thank you for everything. And no offense, I know when I came in, I told you I was expecting what's her name, and I was a little disappointed. But, you did a nice job. Good
thank
job.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thanks for all your help.
We will
work with you. Thank you very much. The new business item B, discussion and action regarding to the City of South Sioux City request for county monies to spend and projects. Riverview Drive, Veterans Drive, and Foundry Road.
Lance, you want to give us an update, I think? I think Joan forwarded an email. I don't mean to take over on you.
Definitely.
Sure. I know that Joan forwarded an email that some of those things have changed. I think you had like a proposal A and B. Is that right?
Again, I think we have good cooperation in terms of the developer that area, the city, school, and hopefully the county in terms of getting this project moving forward. The estimated cost on the project is $6.3 million to do the work. That number will change slightly because of some of the work that was done with on the project and just building the two basic lanes from basically Foundry Road by Veterans Memorial Park to 39th Street. And just building those two roads initially through that area, we think may reduce some of that cost overall. Also included in 6.3 is about $550,000 worth of contingencies. And we recommend keeping contingencies in a project. There's always something seems to come up. But basically the project itself is estimated to come in about $500,000 below that if we don't need those contingencies. what we'd like to see is a statement of intent on the project to proceed to work together with that and analyze the bids when they come in to see what we're going to do to get the bids within the funds that are available to the various entities. Ho-Chunk themselves will be putting in $1 million into the project for the road itself. Then, in addition, the City of South Sioux City would put in $1.5 million into the project itself. So that with your participation, I think we proceed to get to get bids on the project and try to have a clear understanding what happens if the numbers come in higher or lower, what happens in that regard. But
is the school committed, Lance?
Yes.
For $1 million?
Mm-hmm. They indicated that in all their discussions. I don't know that their board has gone and taken any action, but yes, they certainly verbally said that all the way through. And it takes an agreement by all the parties to make this work.
So the last email that I seen, and I don't have it with me today because I don't have my packet in my office, there was two different, the proposal has changed. There's a proposal A and a B. And if I remember right, seeing it, the one showed $1.2 million and there was a $1.4 million. Is that right?
Yes.
1. What, Joan?
1.8 and 2.
Basically what it is has to do with what things you want to include in the project and what happens if the project comes in higher or lower. So you can see those two numbers and those splits. South Sioux City's would go from 1.5 to 1.8 on one of those, and yours would go up as well. Our intention is obviously getting the project done, getting it done correctly for the long term, but obviously we have to do it within the budgets that everybody has.
Lance, would you talk a little bit on the delayed assessment?
On the delayed assessment, Rick points out a good question, is that under state law that you do have the potential of doing what's called a delayed assessment. In fact, we offered it to the farmer when we did the 39th Street project. He was on the south side of the road. He said no, he wanted to pay it, which is kind of nice overall. But we'd offer that to him as an example in recent times. Basically, what a delayed assessment is that you would set aside on the project X dollars per foot, and that anybody who wants to tap into that roadway would pay you X dollars per foot. Might happen a year, might happen 20 years, may never happen, but basically they would provide a reimbursement for that work that was done in that particular area. So if you set up $100 a foot, somebody wants to tie into that area, they would have to pay that for whatever area they develop. So it's a long-term, hopefully a short-term, but probably more likely a long-term repayment for those funds.
Now, Joan did a little research on it.
I didn't do any research on it.
I thought, okay, who did we, like, contact NACO?
Never heard of it.
They never heard of it? And
the
then
research they did thought it was something the city can do, but not the county. They call it is it deferred tax or is it deferred assessment?
It's a deferred assessment. I don't know what the legal terms are in that regard. But basically, it does it. So either you or us can do it. And if you do put that in place, then you'd want to just make it have a clear where
those funds.
They
said the county
cannot
do it. That it's a, what
that's
they,
what NACO said.
Where does York County come into play in this thing? Did somebody from York County?
They did it.
Yeah.
There could probably such a thing as that means we would be tied in with the city, that the city could probably take the reins on the delayed assessment and then pay back the county.
Yes. And basically you'd have an agreement in there, split 50-50 or whatever it's going to be.
So
between
let's say,
the different parties. So,
let's say we've got the $1.2 million that the county's invested. We could probably recoup half of that, if not more.
Basically, what you do is set it up, and again, I'm going to use this to make it simple, $100 a foot. So if somebody pays $50, our agreement could say you get $50, we get $50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever that number is, we could end up splitting that over time, yes. And it should be based upon whatever the real costs are. I mean, you can't just grasp it out. I mean, you want to be realistic with anybody else out there, but that's what it should be based on.
And we'd be talking about the southern portion of this project, right?
Yeah, basically you would assume that the Ho-Chunk payment would really pay for the roadway by their particular area to get to that point. So you'd be taking basically from 29th to 39th under that delayed assessment option.
Anything else, Lance?
The only thing I'd say on the delayed assessment actually ties a little bit into the school. Are they a participant or not a participant? But that, otherwise, your commenter directly, and they haven't asked about that.
And did you expect them to probably
ask about that?
Yeah.
No.
Let me ask you a question. What happened if, let's say, for instance, the school not willing to cooperate?
The project falls. This is a house of cards. You got to get everybody involved, or it can't work.
Not going to happen.
I don't see anybody coming up and anybody with the golden pockets to cover.
Okay.
Ho-Chunk will probably proceed with their area of development, but then it'll stop there.
So 29th to, let's just say, for instance, Ho-Chunk. I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. From 29th Street to Foundry Road, they have purchased that land down through there. Is that correct?
I don't know if they purchased this. They have the option on it. I don't know if they've exercised that, because when you talk about getting the quality of houses that you're talking about here, this is not like you want a dead-end street. And so to really make the project work, you really have to have that through fare.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think I just don't think it... It mentally works to say we're going to use this dead-end street to get there. By going to 39th Street, you'd be going on a paved road all the way through the area and come out at either McDonald's or off of 9th Street out there to go onto the highway. So it creates that much more accessible operation.
It makes way more sense.
Yes.
Yeah, then you get your contractors and your investors. It opens up a whole new chapter for everything.
Well, I've read Jones' email from Larry Dix, and he replied back that, you know, the counties couldn't do it. I'd kind of give up on the delayed assessment, but now that that's back and you guys can pursue that, I would like to look at that a little further and see how much we can recoup.
Yeah. And basically,
before we make the commitment.
Yeah. And basically, my suggestion on that is take the cost per foot of the street paving and split it in half.
Whatever the cost would be. Yeah.
That to me is a simple,
okay,
right, simple way to word it.
Yeah,
we'll never know until we bid it.
No, we get a general idea.
Sure.
I mean, you get some estimates. It's probably going to be about half of that, or $1.2 million, or $1 million. Would it be roughly half?
It would be.
There's 7,000.
I was going to say 7,000, a little over 7,000.
10 times 300. Yeah, it'd be
looking at the
half,
map,
yep.
I thought it'd be about half.
Anyway. Yep.
Okay.
And if you want to be totally confused a little bit more, but one other option that we have is they actually run a construction company. And so maybe we can work out an arrangement with them to do something where they actually build the road and we reimburse them in some fashion. So that's not totally out of the question from the city standpoint. But I don't want to confuse you, but I think that is somewhat of an option. What we're really looking for is a statement of intent. So let's participate, let's get this done, and then let's finalize that contract.
So what's the board want to do?
Well, I think what we should do is, I know you want it sooner the better, and we'll meet here again in two weeks, okay, on the 31st. So we will have an answer, I'm hoping, by the 31st for you guys.
And what do we need to provide you to make that simpler one way or the other? Anything?
It would be nice on the delayed assessment to have a figure on the 7,000 square feet, how much we could recoup of that $1.2 million,
okay,
and it'd make our decision
much easier.
All right. So I'll give you the estimate based on the engineering cost, obviously not bid cost, but I'll give you that. That's a simple
okay. That would help.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with that being said, so I think Scott's idea is the only solution. Mm-hmm. At this point, you know, let's wait until the meeting of 31st, and in the meantime, you provide us with the information that we request and we go from there. You want to?
Just a couple comments. Bruce Davis, South Sioux City.
Yes.
Rick was in the last meeting, but just as a clarification, a little bit of history. The city council voted on this about 9 months ago. At my request for a motion to take some money out of reserves to build the road. Since that time, there's been a lot of things that have been happening, but a lot of the confusion has to do with the fact that there's four lanes. There's not four lanes. There's only two lanes. It has the right-of-way enough for four lanes for future development. We've also reduced the size of the street from 16 foot down to somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 to 15 feet to help somebody reduce some of the costs. The 13 feet that was requested was absolutely just too small for us for safety purposes. You know, if somebody stuck in the snow or somebody gets a car or something, you just don't have room to go around them. You got school bus issues and those type of things. But back to the request of the discussion you had before, the whole scenario. This, I don't know that there's been a housing development in Dakota County in the last 50, 60 years of this magnitude. But you're talking somewhere between 400 and 500 acres is the number. Some of that about right? So. The point of it is you know, I've been around a long time. We've had a number of developers who've looked at doing this, and every time it falls through simply because of the cost. It is absolutely just too expensive, too much risk for any one developer to come in and take it in. And so to make sure that we figure out a way to do that, because you guys know me well enough to know that I'm not willing to take $1.5 million out of our reserves just on a whim, but it has to. That area is never going to be developed unless something happens. And now with the with that process where the discussion has been out and the public information out there, it's becoming more of an issue where people are aware. I don't think the cost is going to go down because there's been a lot of landowners that are staying pretty static on it. But having said that, with all the landowners that are there, everybody's been very cooperative. We have the right-of-way already from one of the parties. We're going to have the other right-of-way in sometime in the next couple weeks, correct? And then the Ho-Chunk right-of-way is obviously that's the last piece of it. And they're in the process, I understand, of buying parcels on a scheduled basis for the previous seller for tax purposes. So once this is all said and done, we actually anticipate being able to do something after the crops are out to be able to get out there and get it staked and do some things yet this fall with the construction next spring. Because if we don't do something, I guess everybody knows we're not going to grow. The city and the county are not going to grow residential housing area to this magnitude. You know, we have some other developments that's been out there, and thank goodness those guys are out doing those developments. But, you know, from our perspective, the city, we can't grow without these type of areas. So that's how it came from the beginning to the where it's at now. And again, you know, a couple of commissioners asked me the question about the number of lanes, and it's only two lanes. We don't anticipate having four lanes for a number of years, but you know, we'd be foolish if we didn't ask for the right of way on all these areas and pay for the right of way. The right of way on the property is expected to be with Ho-Chunk providing theirs at no cost. We expect the right of way is about $500,000 right there.
There we go.
So that's kind of the update from some of the questions that I've been asked, kind of set the record straight of exactly what's happening, as opposed to there's all kinds of discussions that have been passed around the area about what's happening, where it's going to go, and those type of things as well. So everybody knows the area, correct?
Sure.
Bennett Avenue, yeah. Basically, for lack of a better term, Bennett Avenue hooks up to Riverview Drive, which is down off of Foundry Road. So.
Yeah. Any questions for Davis?
No, thanks,
no,
Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I think it's got to be saying that, you know, we're going to try as hard as we can to have an answer, because I know we've been, and one of the reasons is because we had the budget review with the auditors, and, you know, we need to know where the money stands. So, but in the next 2 weeks, we'll be able to give you an answer on the meeting of the 21st. Let's do that.
Yeah, we just assume get it done and over with, whatever we can contribute. If there's anything that we can contribute, and move on so that everybody knows where we're at instead of dragging it on. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. See you on the 31st. Let's move on. There's no action taken on it. Thank you guys for your input on this situation.
And all your hard work, too. Thanks.
Miscellaneous. Fred Kell, Highway Superintendent, roll the board. So everybody got a copy of the board.
Fred Kellogg is gone. Dick's going to take over today on the...
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You said you're going to do it.
I just looked at it.
You just looked at it?
No, you go ahead.
I don't think that... I think everybody can look it over. Yeah, but Fred's gone today. So, every week he goes over pretty much the same thing. The hours, the aggregate tonnage, 1602. sign repair, barricading, and then, of course, grading. So it's, yeah, 3 hours overtime. I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary. I don't know as far as any of the grading on Odell or Fell Avenue, Grant Road, 210, but who needs Fred around? I just did Fred's job.
He did a hell of a job. Hey, are all the maintainers all full now?
There's one open right now.
Yeah, we've got an ad in the paper looking for operators.
Okay.
You and Decker both on a road committee, right?
Yeah.
There's a road sign down on Dixon Path that is down laying on the edge of the road. It needs to be addressed.
Okay.
That's your boy, Leon.
And there's one.
You're the laser.
There's actually
it's not Leon no more. That's right.
James. There's actually two signs on Dixon Path that need to be straightened up. One is laying on the ground.
Still your boy.
Just from the one.
Okay. Ben broke off for quite a while. I'll call him in a moment. All right.
You got it, Dick?
Yeah, I'll call him tomorrow. I called Fred this morning. I had a guy call me. We left the windrow along the side of the road, and he couldn't mow his weeds. So I called Fred this morning, and I think, Rick, you called it in too.
Yeah, yeah, I got the same phone call.
So we took care of it back there. So.
Okay. Any more discussion? With Chris, keep it, that's got low.
Anybody have any questions?
Okay.
That's all I got.
So this is the road report. We want to move into item B on the new business. Chief Deputy Decker and Sheriff Claimer request approval of cost over $5,000 to purchase of the law enforcement vehicle. Please, so Decker, I'm in front.
Hello again, gentlemen. We've held this off quite some time. Tim's got 3 days left on this offer for the trade-ins on the old trucks. 2009, 2010, 143,000, 123,000, 122,000. They're giving us 12, 8, 12, and 11. Well, since then, since he's made this deal, Code Red fixed one of them. They lost some coal packs on them. What'd you say, Tim? The last day was the 20th?
Yes.
Of this particular. This is going through Knoefler. It's actually less than the state bid doing the trade-ins.
Really?
Huh.
This Derby.
I told the state deal, they don't want trade-ins, do they?
No, they don't. Well.
They probably won't do it.
Depends on what lot it is. Usually on the state bids, we take them like Huster Auto Group. They don't go as near what he's giving us for the trade-ins.
And they're not part of the state bid over there.
Well, they do state bid, but they don't keep them on stock or something, but it's in Iowa. It's not a Nebraska thing. So, you know, we can delay these payments. I don't think you guys got the finance part of it.
No, thank you.
I think Tim just got that yesterday or something, wasn't it, Friday? So we're looking at about 14 grand this budget year for three vehicles. I think I drop off payments on the first ones we bought, the 11s. So they're paid for.
I think it's important to keep them in cycle. And I know a few years back, you know, we kind of held off on it. And I think it's going to cost you money in the long run, without a doubt. And, you know, these vehicles with 140-some thousand and 120-some thousand, I think they're giving you good money. I've seen the numbers of 90-some thousand, and you're going to be $70,000 difference by the time you do the trades. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. You get behind the eight ball, and we've done that before with vehicles. We've done that with maintainers. You know, it's I think, and your budget will withhold it. So
so you're going to be at $95,765.56
for
all three?
Yes, and
that's with the equipment, the cages.
Right,
that's the whole ball.
Then are we going to bond? Are we going to bond out for this, or who's going to
lease purchase? Yeah, they're lease purchasing
through Andy.
Through Andy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, that's what I'm saying. The first ones we got when I first took office are paid for this year. So, but we're not. You know, since we've gotten newer trucks, we're not fixing so much.
Was there? And I don't remember. Was it two pickups and one Tahoe, or is that what you're looking at?
I think it is.
Two Tahoes.
One pickup.
And I know just by talking to Hammer, he says
they're nice trucks.
I mean, they're awesome. And I've had some. But I'm just he's talking to gravel roads and not you know getting everything dirty in the back. You know, it's just where you got to body bag everything in the back to keep everything.
Well, I don't know about these new Tahoes. I know the old Explorers and stuff. You couldn't keep the dirt out of them. So we'll see. I don't know. Todd's been driving this one. We'll see. Hopefully, they still look a little better. But
Joe, what percent of interest was Andy at? Yeah. Was he?
He's 175 right now. He quoted this for two.
So he's actually dropped back a.
He thinks about 175.
175
at the most.
Okay.
175 at the most. What?
185.
He's got the quote here, too, so it's actually in the list.
Just to give a number?
Just give a number.
Yeah.
Okay. But the issue is we're 3 days on this deal with Derby. We kind of ran it pretty close.
He's a piece of work, Derby. I know him well.
Tim's been doing this. Tim's been handling this stuff. I haven't.
Is that a relation to Donnie Derby?
I don't know. Joe, my wife went to school with him, but he's a good guy. But you know what? I would make a motion for you guys to do approval for the cost over the $5,000 for purchase of the law enforcement vehicles. That's my motion. Unless there's other discussion, Tony, I guess.
Well, let's see if you second, and then we won't discuss it. It's not that second.
I'll say.
Motion by Scott Love and a second by Commissioner Rudy to go with the purchase of those three vehicles. Any discussions?
I usually drive my vehicles about $200,000, but I know they're a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
You're saying you take better care of your stuff?
Okay. Well, no discussion. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Good luck. Try safe.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep, thank you.
You bet.
Item C on the new business. At this point, as the chair, I would like to appoint Commissioner Bill Rudy to the Merit Commission Committee. Will you accept the position, Mr. Rudy?
Yes.
Okay. So Bill Rudy will become the new member of the Merit Commission. Thank you, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
With that, we're going to go on the Commissioner Committee Reports. Scott Law, Law Enforcement Center, one item about that.
What was one item?
That 2 years contract.
With oh, yeah, because the law, the what was it? They wanted 5 years prior, the right, law enforcement, right. The state patrol, I should
state
say.
Patrol.
And so we got them down to 2 years, so then we can evaluate. And I think last time I brought that to you, that we were going to do that, and Chris sent it in to them for 2 years. They accepted, signed it. So in 2 years, well, within the next 2 years, we're going to evaluate to see their office space, what makes sense for them to pay each year.
Was there any increase in there?
There has not been any increase. I think since Scott Ford said since 1900, there's been an increase two times, and I think they were at what, 450? Is that correct?
Right
now a month.
Yeah.
So, and.
And they've got three offices.
Three offices.
They've got a new office in there.
Yeah. 450.
They had three, now they got four.
They give give it away.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be changed. Cool. Yeah, it needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
It does.
It's cheap. Pretty cheap for it.
Actually, that was pretty short meeting that day. Any more committee reports?
The Dakota County Public Safety Services Agency. We met, that is the 0.5% sales tax for the fire departments. We met on August 5th, and we were going to meet with Mike Schmidt, and he couldn't make it. I know Joan showed up and talked about how the money's just coming into the treasurer's office, and if it was able for us to hold on to the monies.
We cannot run that.
We cannot do that. And we were kind of hoping that we were going to be able to, but we cannot. That money cannot be absorbed into the general fund, right? So we're looking at hiring some type of a financial CPAs to monitor our monies. John Trasig showed up and talked about the bonding situation. I know I was telling Joan this earlier today. I think at one time they were requesting $7 million, and obviously the dollar amounts for the track record for the sales tax was like 5.5 or 5.4 million. So they've all, like I said, that group of guys, you know, when they first came in, you know, of course they were excited and gung ho, but also being conservative about everything. And I stress to these guys, and they probably get sick and tired of me, you know, beating the drum. But I tell them pretty much every meeting, you know, we got to stay within our guidelines because we don't want to go back to the taxpayers and you know, property taxes. Because, like I told them, in 15 years from now, whoever's on that board, meaning us, they're going to remember who voted that was okay for them to do that. And so I told them, I says, they're very unforgiving. They can be.
Right.
So they've kind of toned it down a little bit, I think, and I think they're still going to get what they want. But I think, like Dakota City was looking at $2 million to either, and they've got set up finally with who they're going to use for engineers/architects to do their buildings, and I think they're looking at $2 million either a renovation or they're still looking at some different things, but they got $2 million. Hubbard and Emerson is looking at $1 million, and Homer's looking at $1 million. So by the time the $4 million and then, you know, your interest and all your expenses over the 15-year period, you know, and I would think there'd be growth for us, you know, with the sales tax, I would hope, but at least they're kind of going off the dollar amounts that we've collected over the last X amount of years. So, but it's
but the county is going to back the bonds.
That's the only way it'll ever sell,
right?
Because
investors aren't going to buy
absolutely
bonds unless they're guaranteed by something.
Well, and that's the reason why they got the guarantee that it goes back to property taxes. You know, that's the only reason why, you know, the bonds will sell. You
know. Right.
So. Otherwise,
that was the same way it was with the jail.
Yeah, and that's part, like Joan said, that's part of the interlocal agreement with it. So, but things are flowing along well. I think next year they want to. I don't know exactly how much money. I think for the month of May was it $31,166, I do believe. And then Joan got some. Did you get new numbers today with the last? And it don't matter what it is, but. So hopefully next spring, I think that everybody's hoping that they're going to have some shovels in the grounds, I guess. So that's all I got, Chair.
That's quite a bad. If you have information, Scott, thank you very much. Any more committee reports? I went to the Covenant of Connections myself at the College Center, and there was a good group of people from different organizations and different groups, and they were talking about the game activities in the area and graffiti and stuff like that. And there was a presentation from Lance, not Lance Quit, you know, Lance Salvation Army, I think it is. But anyway, he gave us a presentation about the video how the kids desperately looking for hope to be rescued out of the gang members, you know. That was very, very, very interesting, you know, and sometimes they're hard to reach out, those youngsters, you know, and rescue them out of the gang activities. But according to the South Sioux City, Paris graffiti has been dropping quite a bit because the city of South Sioux City has been putting surveillance cameras to a different location. And even myself, with the few rental properties that I have in South Sioux City, I can notice that the graffiti is not there like it used to be. I don't think, there was a nice meeting that I had with this group, and it is a good bunch of people. Any other reports?
Dick and I, with the roads and Fred, we went and looked at, if you recall, the dollar amounts that we had. The case and the Bobcat was within $1,200, $1,500, and Dick had his cataract surgery, but Fred and I went over to Western Iowa Tech. Tim Harris just bought the case that they had spec'd out for us. We looked at it, and then the next day we went out to the Godfathers, out to the landfill, and looked at. He has a 770 that we're looking at. So we looked at both of them, and we went with the Bobcat just because it can lift a little bit more, and even Newton, the salesman from Case, even stated that, you know, the Bobcat's probably going to lift a little bit more.
And it was a little higher.
It was like $1,200 more, the Bobcat. So,
But they're going to put it back in camera too, right?
This is the thing. We all have to remember about that so we don't get criticized on the dollar amount that we spent, $1,200 extra dollars. Even the people from Ziegler, John Deere, contacted the road department and said, Case is not comparing apples to apples. And I know you're not going to go with me because obviously we're 60-some thousand or almost 70,000. One was in the 70s. But I just want you to know that he did not compare the apples to apples that we all did. So with that said, we went with the lowest bid that was compared apples to apples.
How do they do that? Is it lift capacity or horsepower? Or how do they?
I think the horsepower was 84 versus 90 on the Case.
Okay.
I drove out the Case myself, and I asked them right up front. I said, you put a bid in with 90 horses. Yeah, we did. That's true. Our Case will do 90 horses. But actually, when you put a load, completely load onto that, you're going to run 84. Like, say you're going to turn and lift at the same time, you'll lose six horses. But we had 90 horses. Bobcat come in with a full 90 horses on their lift and turning, and that's what you go by Bobcat. I contacted Tim Harris and Steve Harris, both from Homer, and they got Cases. He said that is true. So that's what we thought we'd go with the Bobcat.
I think we did the right decision, I think. That's my opinion. So, any more reports? If it is in mail emergency business, I don't think there's anything that I should think about it. Public comments. At this moment, we fully had something to say about any items that was discussed on the agenda. Come front. Come on, Franco. Say your name at the podium. Short and sweet.
Good afternoon. I got 3 minutes. All right. I can remember, my name's Lou Franco. I can remember here a while back, a few years ago, that the Board of Commissioners voted on hauling sludge from Sioux City and put it on farmers' land. Okay. Now there's products today being hauled from Sioux City over here that's not sludge, and it's not accepted or approved by the Department of Ag or the state of Nebraska. Now, I've heard talk about all of this stuff being hauled over here, going up and down the highways and being dumped in piles. So instead of hearing a bunch of people talk about this and wondered if they had the right information or whatever, I made the phone call this morning to Raul Anderson at the DEQ in Lincoln, and his number's 402-471-1367. And he said, I can give his name and number out to anybody, and you need to call him to find out. He referred to it as illegal dumping, illegal dump sites, because it's not being applied appropriately, first of all. It's not even being applied, it's being dumped. Okay, so it's not approved by the state of Nebraska. There's no permits by the haulers or the landowners, which there can't be because it's not a legal product, first of all. Okay, so I think the board, now that the board knows, they need to investigate, check this out, and being it was voted by the board to haul fertilizer over here, out of Iowa, the board needs to vote on not dumping this stuff in Dakota County. It's an illegal product, and it should stop being hauled over here now, today, if it's an illegal product.
Is it solid or liquid?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is,
you
but
said you're dumping it in piles.
Dumping it in piles, like down to the river. And he told me, this rural told me, that it was being dumped in lagoons. And he said it's illegal to dump it in lagoons. It could be illegal to dump it in lagoons because lagoons have specific guidelines to go by. And with this product, it's supposed to be something like to do with hog guts or something. It's a byproduct from Sioux City.
If you're talking about me, if I'm hauling a liquid, I don't know how you could dump that in piles. Liquid doesn't pile.
Well, you can still dump it. You can still dump it.
We spread it.
It don't matter. It's still illegal.
He said piles.
He checked it. Well, whatever you want to call it, okay? I'm not here to argue with you. I'm just saying. This is what Raul Anderson
told
me.
I've done this 8 years.
Well, then it's been illegal as far as the Department of the...
I think Bill's probably have talked to the DEQ and probably,
absolutely.
I mean...
I talked to him just this morning.
They have...
They've been out. I don't know. I'll
go to South Dakota.
I just talked to him this morning. And it needs to stop now if it's illegal.
Thank you for your comment, and we will do what we can do, and thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on, Larry. State your name for the record.
Me and the gentleman take his hat off.
Yeah. But this machine doesn't know your name.
Don't it?
No.
Thank you. Name's Larry Openicious. Scott. You said there was comments made about paying more.
I just said before, so we don't get criticized at all for paying more.
There's a lot of difference between $1,200 and $60,000.
Are you talking about the maintainer?
The motor grader, yeah. See, call it what you want, $50,000, $60,000. There's a whole bunch of difference. And I didn't bring it in because I wasn't going to get into this. I'm glad you brought up the Bobcat thing. The John Deere motor grader, and I brought $50 to pay Fred, but I bet him $100, and he's only half right.
I'll take it. I was Fred today. I did the run report. I'll take the $50.
But anyway, the John Deere motor grader has more horsepower, okay, 16 more horsepower, but a short 1,200 pounds in weight. The John Deere's lighter, but it's got more horsepower. So his argument was, it's a heavy machine, it's got more horsepower. Well, he's half right. It's got more weight. But I wouldn't pay $60,000 for 1,200 pounds of weight. 1,200 and some odd pounds.
And I know that's been a while ago, and I just want to add this real quick. But I know that we did evaluation on even resale values.
Yeah, wrong now. You can't say it is. I got paperwork to show you. If you get online and you go to Machinery Trader, you'll see, you go down through there, you'll see those two machines being sold. There's no difference. And I've been to many sales at Richard Brothers Auctions. And the majority of the equipment today is sold on Richard Brothers Auctions.
And because they're huge, they're everywhere.
Yeah, worldwide.
Yeah.
And yeah, there is no deal. It used to be that way. See, that's where people are confused. If you don't say CAT, it ain't worth shit. That's what it boils down to. And Fred grew up on Caterpillar, he's going to think Caterpillar's the best there is forever. And
I think he grew up in International, Larry. His dad had all Internationals.
Well, he must have really changed his mind when he went to work with the counter. But if he had an International motor, I guess I've never even seen one.
Well, this is back.
It must have been a...
But he had TD18s.
That was dozers.
Yeah.
See, they weren't graders.
And I think when Fred worked for the county, he actually ran a counter. I don't think he's biased to CAT.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's just like anybody else. Farmers, John Deere, International or whatever. I mean, it's no different. You're getting there, it's a Chevrolet and Ford.
No.
I was guilty of driving a Chevrolet for all my life.
You were smart back then. What happened?
Well, not necessarily. Well, when the robbers, when the thieves took the bonuses and headed out.
I understand. I know a lot of people that I know.
Never
happened. The only thing I'm going to bring up, Larry, I did go up to, I did my research too. I went up to Newcastle because they had a six-wheeler up there, John Deere. And I asked him right up front, I said, how do you like it? He said, we like it. But he said, if we was going to do it again, we would dig deeper. Because he said, there is a slippage on the front wheels on the John Deere. So that's all I'm just telling you what he told me.
And we could sit here, I'll joke aside.
Yeah,
we could sit here and all day. We go back and back and back. But at the time, that in particular machine, that John Deere, they didn't even have it on display anywhere. Nobody. I mean, we tried calling out, hey, tell us who has the latest machine so we can kind of compare it.
The closest
nobody does.
Was like O'Neill.
Right. Well, at the time, they were like, well, we got Dixon maybe looking at one.
Iway
so
didn't
really
have
sell
it.
But
I thought if Iway had one, I'd go out there too, but I didn't get one.
Well, I don't know what you're
doing. Yeah, I know what you're getting at, Larry.
Thank you.
I know what you're getting at.
I want to end on this note.
Do you think that we made a smart decision, Bobcat over Case?
Well, I know we did.
Okay.
Because we tapped.
Hang on, I got to write that. What's today's date? Larry Albanese agreed with us. Hang on a second.
You were talking about the horsepower.
Thank you.
Not losing your horsepower and turning and lifting.
That's what I wanted to find
that's
out.
Right.
Because that's the only thing we're going to use it for.
But there's another thing about the Bobcat. It's got more reach and lift into a higher big
right.
truck. So.
And I ask him right up front.
Well, it's well worth the $1,200.
I said, what about?
You do a spin, in my mind, the 4,000.
I asked him.
Yeah, I'll be on the ballot.
That's the boys use.
So anyway, that's what I said.
Thank you, Larry.
I just hope the boys use it. You get down to the point now where everybody that works for the county, we got a piece of machinery over there, but they're never on them. So now we've got to hire about three more people and put them on. Or are you going to go out there and clean out the 200 and something miles of ditch that needs to get cleaned out to stop the water from going across the road?
Okay.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you.
Okay, Larry.
You got to get out of here.
You're just being lazy. Get out there and do
okay.
it.
Okay.
What perfect world do you live in?
Anybody else? Okay. We'll let John come in.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you.